WSP. The phone from his home on WIP. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike Spike and Fritz. We're at Chickies in Warrington. You can join us at Chickies in South Philly on Monday and every Monday, 6 p.m. for the Brandon Graham Show. Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. Elliot Shore Parks joins us now, as he does every Friday at 3 o'clock. Elliot is brought to you by Robin Ford, online at robinford.com, where cars and trucks are sold cheap, cheap. How are we feeling, Elliot?
What up? How you guys doing today?
Good talk to you.
Yeah, there was a rumor yesterday started by Jack that you were mad at us.
Yes.
So there were two things we could talk about. If we just want to do it over the air, we can just talk about two things. Are you ready?
Sure. Let's do this first.
All right. So one, what's the issue with the suit you got here? You're constantly ripping the suit that I wore.
I thought you looked great.
I thought you looked awesome.
I thought I looked great too, right? Like he brings up that it's linen. Like, you know, what is it with you in conforming to, you know, fashion, I guess, rules here? Like, if
well,
it looks
it's,
good.
It's not about conforming. It's that it is after Labor Day. It's after Labor Day, and you were wearing a light linen suit in Philadelphia. It's against, like, the rules.
Right. So you're conforming. Yeah.
What's that? So wear jams and a tank top in December. Might as well.
Maybe I will. Who knows? But all right. Number two, and here's my larger issue.
Yeah.
So Jack thinks I'm mad at him, right? Uh-huh. Elliot's not talking to me. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And he puts that number two on the list behind Eli Manning not going in the Hall of Fame. Like, we've been friends for years here. The concern here was, well, he was concerned, but not concerned enough to put me number one.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Another complaint with the rankings.
I really had Eli. I wanted to rant about Eli, and I needed a number two.
Yeah.
I didn't want to do Eli first.
Yep.
Looking back, I definitely could have done Eli one.
Yeah, it's good to know our friendship of years comes behind Eli Manning.
Well, remember, Elliot, when the Zach Bryan concert happened, Jack didn't even want to hang out with you in the parking lot.
That's true.
That's a very good point.
That's true.
Yes.
But saw him inside.
All right.
No,
made up for it.
All right, let's talk about the Eagles. Let's talk about the Eagles. All right,
not the summer anymore.
Elliot, so we opened up the show, and I said I had been more disappointed in the offense than the defense so far, and the offense needs to carry the team. Where do you sit on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the offense and the defense have basically been at the same level through the first two games. You know, the offense has more talent, so they should be way better, but they've not been way better. If we want to talk about the defense giving up that game-winning touchdown at the end against the Falcons, and we're going to prioritize that final drive, then we also need to prioritize the two final drives by the offense, which were both disappointing and filled with mistakes and didn't put the game away. So you're right. The offense is supposed to carry the team. If you want to say which has been better, you might lean the offense, but the offense has not outplayed the defense to the level it's supposed to.
So a question about yesterday's press conference for Vic Fangio. Devin White is the most talked about one-year contract linebacker ever. But I do think it's fascinating because we all assumed, given what happened in training camp, that he would be on the field. So Devin White said in the locker room that he was ready to do anything and, you know, he's handling it well and it's disappointing, but he's there, whatever. Then during the press conference, Vic Fangio said he's healthy, ready to go, but he made an interesting comment. He said special teams is part of that. What did you take that to mean? Because I didn't know if that meant that Devin White wasn't willing to play special teams or what that meant. What did you take that to mean?
So I think there's a couple things at play. One, Devin White didn't take any special team reps throughout all of training camp. So the unit that they worked with all training camp, right, and in the preseason and all that, did not have Devin White on it. And so I think that is part of it. I think that if you're going to take a linebacker off of the special teams unit for Devin White, like, that could impact that unit. Devin White has played special teams not much in his career at all. I think he maybe has 100 snaps there, and he said earlier this week the only time he remembers playing it was during a COVID game when somebody was hurt that season. So he's not have extensive reps there. From being around Devin White, talking to him the last 2 weeks, I don't get the sense that they're asking to play special teams and saying no. I think that they don't want him on the special teams unit because the special teams isn't good, and they have those guys there that have been rep there. I think he's not playing because Vic Fangio doesn't want to put him in the game and it doesn't trust him to be ready. I mean, he was a healthy scratch. So I think it's more about that than the special teams.
Well, no, Vic Fangio brought up special teams.
Yeah, it was Vic Fangio that brought up the special teams.
No, no, but right. But I'm saying, like, I think the reason he's not dressing is twofold. One, because he can't play special teams, right?
Whoa. He can't play special teams? Why?
Could he physically do it? Yeah.
Yes, physically,
well, yeah. Well, what I mean more is he didn't take any – like, the unit has been preparing all
Bro, I played special teams for 9 years. It ain't rocket science. My point is, because you're making it seem as if special teams is too hard for him to get out there and be effective. That's BS.
No. What I'm trying to say is Vic Fangio does not want to play him on defense, right?
Right.
So and then to be active, you have to be great. It's like you have to be a great special. If you're not going to play on defense,
who's the great special teams player on our team? No. You have to want to play special teams. You have to. Let's not dance around this. You have to want to play special teams. And what I'm gathering from it, and if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong, and I'll just be wrong about it. It seems as if special teams is beneath him to play. It's beneath him to play. He came in viewed as a starter. He's a former Pro Bowler, all pro, a Super Bowl champion. He lost his starting job. I don't think he thought he was in a competition for his starting job. And now he's not playing special teams. Vic Fangio mentioned that not because it's not something he can't do. It's because it's something he won't do. If I'm wrong, I'll admit that I'm wrong. But you can't tell me a number 5 overall pick, number 6 overall pick, an athlete at his position. Special teams are so watered down right now. Any one of y'all could play special teams. Don't tell me he can't go down there and run down the field. I mean, they don't even make tackles on kickoffs anymore, but once a game. And punting. All you do is hold up a blocker and then run down the field and make a tackle. If he can't do that, then I can see why he's not out there playing defense.
So
if he can't do that.
I agree he could play special teams. That's not what I'm saying.
Okay.
What I'm saying is if they're not going to play him on defense, like if Vic doesn't feel comfortable with him out there on defense, then to be active on game day, his only role in theory would be special teams. And while he could do it, you're right. Physically, I think he could do it. If they've been repping players there for, you know, a month or whatever, like, and he's not going to play on defense, I don't get the desire.
Is he not better than every linebacker that plays on special teams?
As a linebacker?
Yes, Elliot, as a linebacker.
Well, I think you mean are we talking as a special teams player or as a linebacker?
It's really not all that different, to be honest with you. It's really not all that different. So my other concern and question would be, as it pertains to Devin White, is who would I want to go in there and play if one of the starters go down? Don't you want Devin White to be the one off the bench?
I agree with you. I think Devin White should probably start. Like I think the linebacker play dipped in the second week. So I am with you on saying that if Nakobe or Zach Bond go down, I would want Devin White to go in. But clearly, by them making him a healthy scratch, I think it is related to the fact that Vic doesn't trust him in there on defense. Like, I think that's the first domino that falls when it comes to him not dressing.
So CJGJ has had a foot injury.
Get this guy on the field, man. He's collecting a check.
Yeah,
I play football or not.
Yeah.
And he's healthy. That's the craziest part. He's healthy.
By the way, I couldn't play special teams.
The bigger takeaway from the Devin White thing and also the Bryce Huff thing is, I don't know how the communication between Fangio and these defensive players is going. It feels like whenever I talk to a defensive player about, you know, what did Vic say? It's, well, you know, I talked to the position coach. Or, you know, I'm talking about like an on the field thing. But when you consider what happened in Miami, I do think it's worth monitoring here that it feels like these guys like Bryce and Devin and them, I don't get the sense they're having these, you know, one-on-one heart-to-heart conversations with Vic.
Oh, boy.
Only 2 games in. It's great. So, speaking of the defense, CJGJ has been listed as did not practice for 2 days with a foot injury. Do you have any more intel on that, and do you think there's any chance he plays on Sunday?
So, he was in the locker room today, and he was packing to go to New Orleans, which was interesting to me. Now, maybe he's just packing just in case, but he said he didn't want to speak to reporters. He said, I'll see you Sunday, and he was packing to go to New Orleans. So, that obviously would be an indication maybe he is going to play, but he hasn't practiced the last 2 days. So he had, like, they've been putting other people in his reps there on first team. So I don't think he'll play, but I certainly have more hope than I did before I entered the locker room today.
Well, you know he wants to play.
Yes.
It's his former team.
Yep. Do we?
Yeah, he's actually missed both games against the Saints since he's left due to injury. So this will be the third year in a row where his team would play the Saints, but he's missing because of injury. So I'm sure he does very much want to get out there.
The Joel Embiid of the NFL.
Yep, exactly.
So we do not expect A.J. Brown to play on Sunday. Is there any word on when he could come back? Has there been anything at NovaCare about that?
No, I mean, I don't expect him to play on Sunday, like you said. I think at this point the Tampa game is in question as well. And the bye week sets up kind of nicely with it being the next week, so you wouldn't miss another game there. But, I don't expect A.J. to play this Sunday.
And last thing on one of the press availabilities this week, we had talked to you a couple of times about Nick Sirianni getting a little testy a couple of times. And one of the things he did get testy on was the decision not to go for it on fourth down after Saquon dropped that pass. And there was the question about with the analytic thing or the gut thing. Ultimately, and he answered as sort of both. Ultimately, if you had to guess, why do you think he did not go for it on fourth down? What was the reasoning behind the decision?
I don't think he thought the offense would execute it. And ultimately, I think part of this is, did he want the ball in Jalen's hands in that spot? Because if he felt the offense was clicking at a high level, Jalen was playing at a high level, I think he would have been more inclined to go for it. But because he didn't, and you look at the offense has executed in the red zone this year. There's been fumbles. There's been near interceptions. There's been all types of mistakes. There was a drop by Saquon. I think he looked on fourth down and said, is this offense going to get the play done? And I think he probably decided correctly that they wouldn't, and that's why he kicked it.
Interesting. Especially because he was aggressive in the first half. Now, they didn't convert in the first half on fourth down, so maybe that goes into it somehow. Elliot, any big plans for New Orleans? For you?
No, so I have Go Birds Radio tomorrow from 1 to 3. Won't get into New Orleans, I think, until 11 tomorrow night. So,
Oh, wow.
Get in, go to the hotel, get ready. The game's at noon on Sunday, so, get ready for the game.
You pack your linen suit?
I did. I might just wear that linen suit for every single game this year at this point. You won't catch me in a pregame show without that linen suit on. Yeah.
You know I love you, Elliot. There he is. Elliot Shore Parks. You can listen to the Go Birds podcast every day. It comes out every day now in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of interesting stuff going on there. The Devin White thing is a funny little story.
A healthy body. Doesn't make sense to me other than you don't want to play special teams.
I think the point that you said there, the idea that N'Kobe Dean, who's been hurt, a considerable amount, is probably going to get hurt at some point this year. God willing, he doesn't. But that Devin White isn't even available if one of the starting linebackers goes down.
That's the crazy thing to me.
And the other thing that Elliot said there is the thing to keep an eye on, that the players don't like Vic Fangio.
Oh, man.
Dude, we're 2 weeks in. You can't wear out your welcome in training camp in 2 weeks.
Well, when it happens is when the defense isn't playing well.
Right.
So when you're in the summertime and you're learning the defense and you're trying to earn the coaches' respect and trust, you're okay with the old school coaching and keeping it real with you and shooting it straight to you. Well, when you get to the real games and the results aren't what you hope they are, and the coach is still harping on you the same way he normally does, he's going to even double down on it even more. For some of those guys, now you wonder, can they handle, tough coaching or whatever? I don't know, man.
It's it's good.
Yeah.
You're so disgusted
with
today's players.
Well, I'm just saying, I can't, I can't tell the coach not to coach.
Right. This is how he is.
Yeah. You hired him to come in here to be a certain type of coach. He's got a coach.
Well, also, those guys aren't good. What are you so – at some point, you got to be like, all right, well, something's going wrong.
Right.
Something's going wrong with us, too. Like, maybe we should just listen to the guy.
It ain't just him, exactly. Right. Yes. So I don't know, man.
Got to get you in there.
Well, no, man. We got to get Seth in there, man.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Seth, linebacker coach. Vic Fangio.
Yeah.
DC.
Yeah, see, everybody, like, yeah, there get it Seth is. In there, man.
Oh, I meant you playing.
No.
That definitely ain't happening. Yeah.
215-592-94.
I couldn't put the uniform on, bro.
The one that I have of yours is very tight. Very tight. 215-592-94-94. Andrew and Ben Salem is back. You're on WIP. What's up, Andrew?
Hey. How are you guys doing?
What's up, brother?
What's up, Drew?
Hey, first-time caller. I just want to say, got a little nervous there. I got nervous.
All right, you know what? We can't do it. That's the second time Andrew's been on and choked. Are we going to go
Come
back
on,
to
Andrew? Oh,
I put him
on yourself together.
I put him on hold. Do I bring him back? Because the first time he was at the drive-thru.
I'll give him another shot.
Come on, Andrew.
Okay.
I know Ike's intimidating.
All right, Andrew. Andrew. I need you to. Yeah. I need you to take a deep breath.
Yeah, yeah.
I need you to
just talk to me. I'm the nice one.
No. I'm giving him pep talk. Shut up.
See.
Yeah. All right, Andrew. I need you to get yourself together. You're part of the show right now. You're on the radio. Yes. All of the Delaware Valley is depending on you.
Speak your truth.
Give your take, Andrew. Let's go.
Bryce Huff
stinks.
I am a Jets fan.
Oh, you're a Jets fan.
Hold on. I root for the Eagles as well. My wife is an Eagles fan. They're four, all that.
Okay.
I'm a Jets fan.
Okay.
I have a theory.
On Bryce Huff. What is it?
I believe that he might be the victim of something that we were a victim of. Solomon Thomas, left guard, we picked him up. Thought it was going to be a great deal for us. He was terrible. He was horrible. You want to know why we thought he was going to be good? Because he was next to Trent Williams over in San Francisco.
So you're saying Bryce Huff was next to more talented players, which increased his productivity.
Yes. Correct, because not being a homer, but we do have a very good defensive line, good depth, and we did only really use him on pass rushing snaps. So now you're asking him to do a whole lot more with perhaps a little less around him.
A little less?
Yeah. Well, no. you know, eventually we'll see what happens with Bryce Huff the rest of the year. But if he is this sort of bust that it appears he could be, whoever made this evaluation and decision, not ultimately how he makes the decision, but whoever evaluated him, it is one of the biggest misses of all time. Now, you also have to look at the guys that he's next to, and that Jordan Davis has been disappointing, and Jalen Carter at a good first half of the first game, but ultimately I think
same Monday.
We've been disappointed in them. So his Bryce Huff's success on some level is dependent on those guys being good, and I think we all hoped, fingers crossed, that Jalen Carter would be the second coming of Fletcher Cox in a way, and he has not been that.
Perhaps. I also have another question to pose to you guys in relation to coaching.
Oh, you feeling good
because it's something that I bring up to different people when I'm talking.
Okay.
Right.
So, last year, both of our teams had stuff go wrong with them for different reasons. Do you think that if you guys had Robert Saleh and then we had Nick Sirianni, things would have been different? Because I think for my team, that if my team had Nick Sirianni, it would have been an absolute historic crumbling. Because let me tell you something, we did not crumble.
Hold up.
When
Andrew, time out.
Here we go.
First of all, we don't even want Robert Saleh.
Yeah.
Well, I was a DC.
Yeah.
Hold
on. Andrew, Robert Saleh is a terrible head coach.
Yeah.
The Jets had a terrible season.
Seven wins.
I was there for the entire thing. It was embarrassing. It was an embarrassing season. Your head coach is clueless. Now, ours might be too. I have no idea. But I don't think flip flopping Robert Saleh. Robert Saleh loves to sound tough in press conferences, but kisses his players' asses behind the scenes. This is like he's a bad head coach. Andrew.
You could be correct there.
He's a horrible head coach. Now, again,
I don't know if I would say horrible.
He's horrible.
If he was a horrible head coach, that team would have absolutely crumbled last year.
They did.
They did not.
They won seven games or six games.
The offense was terrible because we had terrible quarterbacks.
And that's true.
877-337-6666.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
If you have the best defense in the NFL, which you guys claim that you did.
I'm assuming the fans.
The WFAN number.
Well, hold on. Hold on. Andrew, you have Breece Hall, who's one of the best running backs in the NFL. You have Garrett Wilson, who's one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. You have the most talented defense in the NFL. And it fell apart. It fell apart. Robert Saleh is a bad head coach. So I don't think anything is different if you flip-flop Nick Sirianni and Robert Saleh. The Jets would have still sucked, and the Eagles would have also fell apart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
None of us want Robert Saleh.
No. Nobody wants Robert Saleh. He's not even going to have a job next year. Yeah. Unless he does what Jack says and they win the Super Bowl.
But call back soon, Andrew.
Yeah. Well, we gave him a lot of chances.
He did.
He gave him a lot of chances.
Listen, once he got over his nervousness, he started rolling.
He was a good caller. Yeah. He was wrong, but he was a good caller. Coming up next, I think we need this. We have a guy on the phone who is going to get everybody pumped up and ready for the game on Sunday.
Rios?
When I do that and you give away the tease, it's not as good as when you let me tease it.
Yeah, pipe down over there.
What are you doing? Go back to the first segment.
I'm having a great show today.
Is there any other tease you want to ruin for me?
Go back to the first segment.
All right.
Yes.
We'll get you pumped up next. Who is more responsible for the Eagles winning the game on Sunday? Is it the offense or the defense? Who have you been more disappointed in, the offense or the defense? 215-592-9494. Get you pumped up for the game next, or we have somebody who will do it. This is the WIP Afternoon Show from Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickies and Pete's in Warrington. Join us here today for the grand opening of the new patio, live music, and lots of giveaways tonight. It's the WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's Delegation Day live from Chickies and Pete's in Warrington. Join Eagles fans at the Chickies and Pizza Terminal E, the Philly airport, before heading to Tampa next Friday for a tailgate at the gate party. It starts at 8 a.m.
Elliot will be there?
Elliot will be at the gate?
I'm sure.
Oh, wow.
We don't know when Elliot's leaving.
No, I got no idea. I assumed he's going to be there. Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Oh, no.
He's usually there.
Oh, no.
What?
Well, the tornado. You're on WIP.
Oh, they're in a dome.
Hey, fella, it's Tornado with your game day forecast.
No, the game is in a dome. We don't need a game day forecast.
I said it's Tornado Shapiro, and how about a little music?
It's the game day forecast from the world's most accurate and famous meteorologist, Tornado Shapiro.
And the respect. That's from years in the business, right? Listen, it's New Orleans. And you know what kind of crazy stuff goes on down there? Keys and curses, voodoo dolls, Halloween costumes all year round. Come on, they bury people above ground down there. My cousin was buried standing up.
That doesn't make any sense.
The girls know me down there, too. I tell them, throw me some bees and I'll show you my forecast. Come on.
Oh, God.
Is that what they call it?
Oh, God.
Did I ever tell you about Big Bourbon Betty?
Oh, no.
Weather gal out of KDDDDTV out of Baton Rouge. She got paid in bees. Then she'd flash you a different kind of flash flood warning.
Okay.
Then there's, of course, Lady Lean, the Cajun Queen, WWOZ885, the funk. Cajun swap stank funk, that is. Leany brought enough moisture to shut that whole town down.
Okay,
oh,
all right.
God.
It's not stop. It's not going to rain. It's in the Superdome. We don't need a forecast.
Hey, the roof could fall off.
The roof is not going to fall off. You're not a real weatherman.
It happened in Philadelphia. The Spectrum roof blew off 1968. I know because I was there. And I called it. It was a memorable. You can look it up. Your dad can tell you about this. It was a memorable night for me. Same night I met a Cub meteorologist from Channel 48, Kaiser Broadcasting System, covered in the ancient wowzers. She brought some gale force of her own that night. Hit me with a warm front.
Can you stop it? There's not going to be rain. The roof's not going to blow off. This is ridiculous.
You have evidence in front of it. March 1st, 1968, high winds blew the roof off the newly minted Spectrum, America's showplace. It was during the ice capades, and I called it. Me and Marty Morningweg, we both took the wind that day.
All right. But we're going to New Orleans, and it's not here, and the
we're
roof's not
going to... We're on to New Orleans.
What are you doing?
It's my Derek Carr voodoo doll. Twisting Kimmer. Kimmer, you little...
Fine. Give the weather. What's the weather in the Superdome?
Point spread is 3. Chance of precip up to 14 by game time. We're looking at 50-50 shall rain indoors, damn it.
Okay.
50-50 rain indoors?
Again, 50-50.
Yeah, 50-50 rain indoors. I don't think that's accurate. You're a fraud meteorologist.
How dare you question me? You're an amateur. How much evidence do you need? I brought the data. I bring data all day. I've got the most accurate record in history. Look it up. I called the spectrum roof collapse.
All right, no more. No, 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 no. No more. No more. Turn them
right out of the south.
No, no. Guy calls it with a game day forecast. They're playing in a dome. Why does every meteorologist he had an affair with bring moisture?
Well,
that's a good thing.
It's tornadoes way.
Unbelievable. Kevin, West Philly, you're on WIP.
Our kid's present.
Yes.
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's
hey,
up,
listen.
What's up, Kev?
Oh, man. All right. To answer your question, I think that I'm more disappointed in the offense. I thought the offense was going to be a well-oiled machine. But what do I expect with a quarterback like Jalen Hurts? And I know people are going to be mad and y'all going to crucify me because it seems like every quarterback that played in Philadelphia, we allowed to talk about them and talk about their mishaps. But when we talk about him, who's the Mr. Holier than thou, everybody want to give me the shaft. The Jalen Hurts is just, he like a chef that just got a, he can cook a lot of food. He got a cupboard full of seasonings, but all he uses is pepper. He got all this equipment and don't even know how to use them all. I'm sick and tired of Jalen Hurts. I'm sick of the excuses. You know what criminals do when they get locked up and go in front of the judge? They take accountability for it. Then they get probation. They go out and do the same thing again. So I don't care if Jalen Hurts is saying that he's sorry. He's been doing this for how long? When is we going to get it through our heads that the guy's not good enough? And he's not. He's a running back, a glorified running back who could just throw football. I'm not a fan of him, and I swear that having all these weapons this year is going to fully expose them, and then y'all going to start seeing what I'm seeing, and people going to be calling for 2 gloves to be put in the game.
Watch
how all these weapons he don't use them, and watch what happens. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. And I got PTSD. I was a big Wentz guy. Look what he did.
Yeah,
he was good. Then he stunk. This is the same thing Jalen Hurts doing. And as far as Howie, with the people that he picked up on, he made a big mistake. This is one of the first times that I can say in a long time I think Howie dropped the ball like a lot this year. So we need Jalen Hurts to get his head out of his ass and lead this offense. We need him to do this. We need it to be done.
I agree.
And it seems like he can't do it. Y'all keep saying, every time I listen to one of y'all analysts talking, oh, he can't throw it into the middle of the field. Well, that's terrible.
Well, who said that's he horrible. Can't throw it into the middle of the field?
People saying that he don't
throw it into the middle. No, you haven't heard an analyst say that. You've heard people with opinions say that.
Yeah, I'm not an analyst.
Everybody has their own opinion. Everybody can have their own opinions.
I take it back.
Here's my thing. Saquon catches that ball. The Eagles are 2-0.
In it, but and guess
all
what?
All right,
he got the
right.
ball. No, he got right. the ball. And he got the ball and only had to move like 16 yards, and he couldn't.
I agree.
This guy is 87 gas, man. He's a regular quarterback, and y'all keep piping him up to be premium, but he's not.
So what choice? But here's the thing, though. What's the alternative? So you want to listen? You sound like you're upset. You're upset because everybody else doesn't feel about Jalen the way you do. You're upset because Eagles fans don't they have faith in the guy prior to the season, and they have hope that the team can actually go and do great things this year. You're upset that we aren't all miserable and upset at the guy like you are right now with 2 games into the season, and we haven't just thrown the rest of the season away. So you want to throw up in our face, us being Eagles fans and supporting the quarterback. Like this is something you're proud of him not being a quarterback, or you're proud that you're not a fan of his. You're proud that you're not a fan of Jalen Hurts. You're rooting for his demise. You're rooting for his demise, and it's the worst type of fan. I don't normally do this. I really don't, because I really give everybody the respect of being a fan, and you don't have to wear green colored goggles and all of that and support everything the team does. But I'm telling you what you sound like right now is that you would be happy if the guy doesn't succeed so that you can feel good about being right. You've said multiple times, y'all are going to see this dude ain't this, he ain't that, this and that and the other. We're two games into the season. They're 1-1. You've already determined what you think about him and this team as long as he's the quarterback. Quit trying to penalize everybody else or want to criticize everybody else because they don't necessarily feel the same way you feel right now. It's two games into the season. Two games.
I understand it. But you don't think he should be playing better than what he's playing?
Of course we all do. We all do.
I want him to be better.
We all think he shouldn't be turning the ball over.
I don't wish on his demise. I argue with – I only do this with Eagles fans. Anybody else – they get I would
You're
never talk
them.
Like this about
Got
them.
You. Okay.
I defend them. That's how I only do this with Eagles fan. Anybody would tell you. I would never reveal this to any Cowboy fans or anybody. Only I talk to y'all like this because we're Eagles fans. Y'all,
sure.
y'all understand my pain. I've been going through this for years with this team.
Sure.
I'm a passionate fan. I love this team to death. I want us to succeed. I don't want this dude to not succeed. I just don't really think he's good enough. I just don't. And I hope that I'm wrong. And I like you said, you think I want him to be wrong. No, I don't. I want to be wrong. But at the same time, like, come on, man. Enough's enough. Lead the horses. Let's gallop through the trenches. Fine. He did this last year. The same thing is happening. I got PTSD from Wentz, man. So when it comes to quarterbacks, I get a little bit antsy and crazy when it comes to because I want to win.
All right.
I'm tired of people. Y'all just did a poll saying y'all just did a poll asking us we close to 18-6. That's a disgrace.
Yeah.
We're not close to no darn 18. Man, that's no way. Why are we close to 18? Why? Why would somebody even think that? That makes no sense to me.
Well, hold up. Kev. Because I said they're closer to 18-6. So let me ask you this. And again, this is an Eagle on Eagle fan conversation.
Yeah, in-house family discussion.
Yeah, this
discussion.
Is in-house family discussion.
Yes.
So you just said the quarterback is average. He's not good enough. The defense hasn't been able to stop the run. The defense got sliced and diced by Kirk Cousins, who can't move, last week. And they're 1-1, which is .500. So you tell me why they're not a mid-pack team.
All right, can I ask you a question, too?
Yeah, as long as you answer mine first. Yes.
All right, the reason why I say this, this is the reason why I don't think we're a mid-pack team. The reason why I say we're not a mid-pack team is because the defense held them to 15 points to 1 minute and something left in the game.
But
that right there, if any other team, we would have won that game. If he did, just like you say, and he dropped the ball, we would have won it. So I'm not tarnishing them only for that. I'm tarnishing them just for the dumb decision that it even went to that point. I just think that our quarterback should play better, and I know he's capable of playing better, but I'm just tired of the excuses. Like, I'm tired of it. We're not as bad as you think. We're not no 18 team, man. No way in the world are we 18,
well,
man.
So, Kev, I largely – thank you for the call. I largely agree with Kev's point about the Hurts Chris. Like, I've lost my mind twice on the right. Hurts thing. I understand it is hard to the people who defend him very hard, and I think when he doesn't play well, they actually defend him harder because they want to protect. I get it. That's not – I understand that point. But his other point about – he said the quarterback's average, never going to be more than average, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And that so I don't understand his point that if he doesn't think the quarterback's any better than average and the defense has been bad against the pass and the run, how are they not a mid-pack team? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, and I think it's less about what you think they are, and that's more what he hopes they are. I think he hopes that he is a top five, top six team.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jalen Hurts is what he said they are, and the defense is what they have purported to be so far,
mm-hmm.
then they might be a mid-pack team. Do you know what I mean? If
sure.
Jalen's only as good as he said they are,
right?
He is.
Yeah, no, so, I agree. At the end of the season, yeah, if that's what the results are, that's what they are. All I'm saying is that there's way too much football left to be played
sure.
for me to all of a sudden, after two games, be like, this is what it's going to be all year long.
Yes, I agree.
And this is all he is.
I agree with you on that.
How do I spend 6 months saying one thing, and then 2 weeks into the season, I've completely changed my mind on everything?
Absolutely.
It makes no sense.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's has designed the ultimate championship ring for our listeners. Vote on the design. Find out how to win at 94WIP.com/Mark's. Is Sunday versus the Saints a must-win? 63% say yes. Hey, Phils are playing a big series right now. Let's talk a little Phils.
It's time for the High Hopes Jackie Baseball Report. Here's Jackie Baseball.
I thought
you were working today.
I thought Kevin was cooking there for a second.
He was cooking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine, when are you and him going to do a show?
Yeah, one day.
Yeah.
I've always said, make me work with Kevin. Spread the truth. 44 strikeouts in the last three games is unacceptable. Like of all the things that are going on with the team, and you head into the stretch run here. Nola pitched well. That's one thing that I think we feel pretty good about. You know, him getting in a good rhythm here, heading into the stretch run is important. Bullpen has rounded into form. The lineup with the amount of talent they have cannot strike out 44 times in three games. It's excruciating.
I think the strikeouts that bother me the most are Trey Turner, because he looks like he's just closing his eyes and swinging with one hand. But I think that here's what I feel about with the strikeouts. If Schwarber doesn't hit a home run at the beginning of the game, if he strikes out, you're almost guaranteed to get the side struck out in the first inning. The amount of times that the other pitcher strikes out the side against the Phillies is stunning, almost.
Seems to happen a lot. I mean, yeah. I think they struck out the four out of the first five batters last night.
Yeah.
Like there was a time where eight straight strikeouts, like carrying over from last game. So it's something to monitor. Again, we don't need to hit the freak out button, but I do not need a lot of K's, because that's what kind of sunk them last year, game 6 and 7.
I know you hate when I say this. They got to win tonight.
Must win?
They got to win.
More of a must win. Saints on Sunday or tonight?
Sunday.
Well, you're always worried about them getting swept, which I don't agree with you on.
Because if they get swept, all of a sudden the lead in the division is down to three games.
I know.
It's not three, four, right?
What's that?
Didn't they come into this 8?
No, it was 7.
It was 7 when it came 7. To the series.
Yeah. Because they lost the last game in the Milwaukee.
I just don't want a historic collapse. I don't want to do those shows, to be quite honest with you.
They'll be fine.
Okay.
They'll be fine. Again,
right.
One win. Okay. One win clinches a playoff berth.
Okay.
And still 4 is the magic number. Last night, Taiwan on the mound. Mm. Only one more Taiwan start, I think, we'll have to suffer through.
We're going to have another one?
Once
they clinch, he's getting, he might start every 2 days.
I was thinking, when they clinch, just pitch him every day.
Yeah, he might start him every 2 days once they clinch.
Dude, the Mets hit the ball so hard last night. Everyone. Nimmo hit it, who's the OMG guy.
Jose Iglesias.
Iglesias.
Francisco Alvarez.
Alvarez
destroyed that baseball.
Oh, my God. It almost went through the wall.
Mark Bientos.
Yes. You guys stayed through that whole game?
I watched the whole thing.
I watched it this morning.
Because they started coming back, and I was like, dude, this would be such an unbelievable Mets collapse. Bryce had a big hit.
The Jets and Buffalo were more exciting.
Patriots.
Patriots.
Yeah. Well, half it was exciting.
I'm a glutton for people would say they listen to, my dad when he's on the radio, the people that hate him listen to him the most.
Hate, listen.
Taiwan is my hate watch. I don't hate him personally, but I hate watching him. So I had a dinner last night, couldn't watch the game live. This morning, I watched the Taiwan game.
Just so you could experience.
Like a psycho.
What everyone went through last night. So probably one more starting against if they clinch, maybe 2 or 3 more. Make them earn that contract this year. save some bullpen arms by the end of the season.
I like Ike's idea of making them pitch every day.
I'm telling you.
It's a good idea. Yeah. But Thompson, I thought it was an interesting exchange last night with the reporters, because he was a little bit testy. The big decision last night was putting him back out there for the fourth inning. They got it to 4-3. Marsh made it 4-3. He put him back out there. Now, in his defense, that was you can't run the bullpen into the ground. They don't have an off day until Thursday. You got to win the series, or you got to take at least two of four in the series. He tried to sneak him through the bottom of the lineup, and obviously it didn't work. I thought Rob Thompson explaining it got a little testy with some reporters.
Why does he go back out there for the fourth inning?
I'm not going to burn the bullpen. I think it's just case by case. And, two of our right-handers, if we use them tonight, they're down tomorrow.
Right.
And it was a down game the whole game.
Yeah.
Every time we scored, they answered. So we're constantly down.
In your mind, it just wasn't the spot in the fourth inning there?
To our leverage guys?
No, just to get someone else in there.
Who?
I don't know.
I mean, those guys that are low leverage guys, And I don't really want, and we've got a game tomorrow. We got a game 6 days in a row. So you start using all those guys up, then what happens tomorrow if you get down? Mm-hmm. So it just didn't work out. My fault.
Topper just wanted to say, we were going to lose anyway.
Yeah, schedule loss, buddy.
Yeah, we knew this afternoon we were going to lose. What do you want out of it?
So, by the way, so did all of us.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. We were crossing our fingers, right. But we knew it wasn't going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this is going to piss off Ike.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
Because this is a classic. Or actually, Spike might actually get more annoyed than Ike.
Oh, boy. I'm
curious to see how.
Oh, boy. You're really serving it up.
How this one hits you. Thought it was important they got Diaz in the game last night.
What?
They got Edwin Diaz in the game, the closer for the Mets.
Oh, and that
so
way
they might not be able to pitch one of the next three games.
Yeah. Use up their bullpen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got Diaz in the game. When you're down sometimes, that's all you can ask for.
Now, listen, I'm this is the whole baseball fatigue nonsense.
Yeah,
stuff.
I can't do this. Yes. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. I need the playoffs. Get me to October. Yeah. I'm in Jack and Ike mode. Get
that's
me
why,
to October.
Listen, that's
well,
why
welcome.
I said,
Ike and I have been there since May.
That's yeah, why I said the sooner they clinch, the sooner these games don't mean anything.
Yes, I don't even have to worry about them anymore. Please, I'm begging you.
Yes, and tonight, Chris Sanchez on the mound, 5.13 ERA on the road, 5.13 ERA on the road.
Oh, great.
If he does not pitch well again on the road tonight, again, his ERA is 2.5 at home. It becomes a bigger conversation.
Say you're going to rip Topper if he doesn't start game two.
I want Chris Sanchez starting game two.
And if they don't,
fire him.
Okay. See, he won't do it.
That's what you want.
He won't do it.
Won't do what?
Will you rip him? Will you be critical of Topper?
If it was Nick Sirianni, you would.
Yeah.
Well. That's Nick Sirianni.
Nick Sirianni wouldn't get to make that decision if we're being honest.
And he was
how he would make that decision.
It.
No, yes, yes.
Still get ripped for it.
That's a good point.
I still think Nola's starting game two. But I hope Chris Sanchez starts game two.
We just had to press you a little bit. Yes.
Coming up on the show, we are lucky every week on the WIP Afternoon Show to have two of the best quarterbacks in Eagles history. We have Donovan McNabb and we have Ron Jaworski. We will have Jaws next. We will get his feeling on where the offense is and if they have any chance at all of going into New Orleans and maybe slowing that offense down a little bit. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.